The missions conference, didn't you? And I really enjoyed. Now I can tell the story now that he's not here. But on Tuesday night, Mr. McCormick had contacted me and he said, "Hey, Pastor Schaefer, can you print my message for me? I've got it on my computer, but I haven't got a printer." It was 9 pages long. Now Alan knows something. He's preached before. Now, Levi, you've done this before. I don't know who else here's preached. Tim, you preached in, I won't tell the dog story, I promise. He's preached in fine arts. Brother Mendez, you've preached, amen? 9 pages is too many notes. And so that's why I was joking around about him preaching till midnight that night. He only needed about one paragraph of that whole message, which was the best thing I've heard in years, which is, what's the Lord Jesus Christ worth to us? Amen? Honestly, I didn't read the whole thing. I didn't even start to, but if he had just stopped, well, he did kind of stop right there. And I'll tell you what, long notes are for the security of the preacher. In case he gets lost, he can read his notes and at least he can keep on going. So, but that was a good message. What's the Lord Jesus Christ worth to you? And he ought to be worth everything to us, amen? We don't come to church for other people. You say, well, if I'm there, what if nobody else is there? The Lord will be here, amen? You already know. Brother Mendez is going to be here because he's never absent. And Brother Leo is going to be here. He's never absent. And I could name some other people here. So there's going to be at least 2 or 3. And where 2 or 3 are gathered together, he's there in the midst. Amen? And then we have the Bible. And I'm going to ask you to look into the Bible now with me in Matthew chapter 12. Now, listen carefully. I want to tell you what to look out for, what to be looking for while I read the story. Here's some things to look for. First of all, in the story, see who is walking with Jesus and who's not. All right, that's the first thing. In the story, as I read it, pay attention to who's walking with Jesus and who's not. And then the second thing you need to look for is who's being critical and who's not. And then the third thing, and it'll be really plain, is which side did Jesus take? He picked a side in this argument. Who's walking with Jesus? Who's being critical? And which side did Jesus take? All right? Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read the first 8 verses of Matthew. If I said Mark, I'm wrong. Matthew, chapter 12. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. And his disciples were and hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." But he said unto them, "Have you not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, 'I will have mercy and not sacrifice,' ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning. Lord, so often we want more than we get, rather than being satisfied with what you provide and the blessings you give. And Lord, we realize that the blessing most often is in the quality, not in the quantity. So Lord, I do thank you for the qualities that you've given us today. We have a Bible. We have a local church. We have the gospel. We have the Holy Spirit. We understand the truth of the Word of God. And today we can proclaim it. And Father, I know there are some people here that are young, not familiar with the Bible. I pray you'd help me to explain this well to them. There are some people here that have heard the Bible preached for many decades. I pray you'd help me to preach this well to them also. There are some folks that can't be with us today because of illness and other trials. I pray you'd be with them and comfort them and bring them back to us safely. And Lord, I pray that you would simply demonstrate your power in this next few minutes. That I, as many have preached in the past, hide me behind the cross. Don't let people see me, but I pray they would see Jesus in the Word of God. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow on TV says that once you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have everything you want. Any problems you have, you just pray and they go away. Send him a little bit of money and you'll be rich. I'm not seeing a lot of riches in this passage, are you? Don't misunderstand. When you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, there'll be some days when you're hungry. There'll be some days when you're tired. There'll be some days when it doesn't look like your needs are being met. How many of you have ever taken a stalk of corn off of a corn plant and eaten it raw? Anybody here ever done that? Okay, I got one hand, two hand, not you, brother. You tried this, Brian? You have. Good stuff, huh? It's edible. It's not my favorite meal, but if you were hungry, it'd get you by, wouldn't it? It's the Sabbath day. What are most people doing on the Sabbath day in Israel? They're resting. Now, I do not believe that Jesus Christ broke God's law, but they were allowed to take a short journey on the Sabbath day, and he and his disciples were walking, and they're going through a cornfield, and the disciples are hungry. I suspect there was no breakfast that day, or it wasn't much of a breakfast, or maybe that was too long ago, and now they're hungry again. But the passage is very clear. When you walk with the Lord, sometimes you're going to be hungry. That's okay. You won't be hungry in heaven, amen? And most of us here probably aren't hungry too often, amen? And after the missions conference, none of my suits fit anymore. And wow, we had a lot of good food during the Saturday and then Sunday, and just a real blessing last week. And they say Baptists know how to eat. I know that that's correct. But the Lord's disciples were walking with him, and they were hungry. Now, I ask you to see, who were the critical people? Were they the people walking with the Lord or the people looking on? Right? Have you noticed that? The people that tend to be the most critical aren't the ones doing the work, because the ones doing the work are too tired to criticize. It's the people sitting on the outside, and I can picture, I don't know how many of them there were. The passage doesn't tell us exactly, but it says Pharisees, plural, in verse 2. The disciples are walking through the corn, the Pharisees are off to the side, and they've got something to say. You ever had somebody criticize you when you're serving God? Yes. Yeah, they will. It's sort of like, I already said, sometimes when you walk with the Lord, you're going to get hungry, and sometimes when you walk with the Lord, you're going to get criticized, aren't you? And so let me see if this story goes like this. And so the disciples were criticized by the Pharisees, so they all quit and went home, right? When you're walking with the Lord, people are going to criticize you. That's okay. Just keep walking with the Lord. Amen. By the way, at the end of the passage, Jesus describes them with the word guiltless. Which means, by definition, the Pharisees were guilty. And do you know what the word devil means, the Greek word for devil? I don't run to the Greek to change the Bible, but it's true. The word devil comes from a Greek word that means false accuser. So when someone makes a false accusation, they're being like the devil. Just like the devil falsely accused Job, didn't he? Remember that story when Job was suffering so bad? And the devil told God, well, the reason Job loves you is because you've given him all this wealth. If you took it away, he wouldn't love you. That was a lie. Amen. Well, then if you took his health away, he wouldn't love you. That was a lie too. And I don't understand the exact setting, but I know this, that somehow or another, the devil is falsely accusing you and I in the presence of God somehow. And the Lord Jesus Christ is called our advocate, which means he's our defense attorney, but he's better than that. He paid for our sins. So the devil says, did you see what so-and-so did? You're walking with God. The devil accuses you. Did you see what that Christian did? And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I paid for that sin. Amen? Amen? Just walk with the Lord. Don't worry about what people say. Amen? But it's good to walk with the Lord. Amen? You say, but Pastor, I'm hungry. Well, that's what the Lord wants. I guess we can be hungry. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have enough of this or that. That's okay. There'll be a time when God will provide for you. Amen? So they're walking with the Lord, and the Pharisees accuse them of being unlawful. Now, here's an interesting thing about Pharisees, if I can get my glasses to unfold here. And that is, Pharisees are really quick to identify what they think the law says, but they're not too awfully worried about the people that they are condemning. I'll give you an example. If you saw somebody today, let's say you saw somebody walking down the road here outside of church, and somehow or another you found out they were hungry. You saw somebody walking down the road, and maybe it was obvious that they were homeless. You got a couple of choices. You could go up to them and say, well, obviously the reason your life is so messed up is because you're not in church right now. That may or may not be true. You know, the better thing to do is give them something to eat. Amen? That's what I'm fascinated by, the Pharisees. And I tell you about this. I mentioned this to you many times. The Pharisees see what they don't like, but they don't see the need. It's easy for us to be critical, isn't it? It's easy for us, for example, when we're around one another, to see that someone else isn't doing something right or isn't able to do the job that they're trying to do or that they're overwhelmed by something. It's easy to see that and say, well, you know, there's a problem, instead of saying, hey, can I help? Can we say that word? Can I help? Are we able to do that? Amen. The Pharisees could have said, can we help? Instead, they said, look what's wrong with you. I just want to tell you something, and this is easy for us all to understand. If you're too busy saying, look what's wrong with you, instead of saying, can I help, you're just like the Pharisees. Amen. Now, look at a couple of things here, and it's kind of fun what we see. First of all, in verse 1, we saw what was happening. They're walking with the Lord, they're hungry, they're eating the corn. In verse 2, the Pharisees accuse them. And then the Lord comes to their defense. Now, I ask you that question, whose side does the Lord take? I'll tell you the answer to that. He takes the side of the people walking with him. Are you walking with him? Amen? Do we know what that means to walk with the Lord? We use metaphors a whole lot when we talk. The Bible's got a lot of those things that one thing pictures another. And sometimes we ought to explain that a little bit better. If you're walking with the Lord, number one, you're going the same direction he's going. Right? Which direction is he going? Well, he wants to see the world saved. So he's going to spread the gospel. He's going to send the missionaries out. He's going to get the ministries in the church to be active and get them to grow. And he's going to want to invite people out to church. If you're walking with him, then you're going to be doing like he does. And you're going to be treated like he was treated. We read that in Sunday school. He was despised and rejected. You say, Pastor, people don't like me because I'm a Christian. In one sense, good, because the Bible says, leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. But some of these younger people here, if they tell their friends they're a Christian, they're going to get laughed at. When older people get laughed at, it doesn't bother us quite so much, but it bothers young people. But you know what? Tell them you're a Christian anyway. Some of the young people, if they walk with the Lord, their friends are going to say, hey, let's go do something wicked. Let's go steal something. Let's go break something. Let's go get in trouble. And the young person is going to say, I don't do that. I walk with Jesus. I'm a Christian. And their friends, so-called friends, they're not really friends at all, are going to reject them and say, well, then you're just an idiot. I'm going to go do what I want to do, and then you go be with Jesus. Amen. Let's go be with Jesus. Amen. Don't go off and get in trouble just to impress somebody, to try to make them think that you're cool because you're willing to do something stupid. when you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going the direction he's going, you're doing the things he's doing. And when you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes it's a hard road. But that's okay because you're walking with the Lord. So these fellows, they're criticized by the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, of course, have got the law. They say it's not lawful. And you know what's kind of foolish? I would not want to debate the law with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the law. Amen. Isn't it funny how people have a concept of how they think things ought to be? Now, don't get me wrong. There are some times when we, as Christians, have got to try to help somebody do what's right. I was, again, talking to this man in my youth group. I've known him 20 years ago. He was a teenager, and he's doing some things that are not right. And I told him, what you're doing is not right. And I did not do that because I'm better than him. If you understand, I'd a lot rather not have to say that. Because when you tell somebody that they're not doing what's right, now you're going to have to pay the price for that. But sometimes we have to help people in that way. But don't stop there. If you can help them, help them. Amen? Whatever it might be, the Pharisees were only interested in how they looked. What the Pharisees were really saying was this: we're better than you. Because we know the law. There's churches like that today. They say, well, we're better than you because we have tradition, or we have the Pope, or we have the prophet, or we have whatever. I found out something. The only one that's better is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, you got the best. Say, Pastor, I don't have a Pope. I have Jesus. Good for you. You got something better than a Pope. Say, Pastor, I don't have the prophet. In Salt Lake City, the Mormons talk about the prophet all the time. No, I have the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone says, well, I have a priest. I do too, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you're walking with the Lord and people begin to point fingers at you and criticize you, when you're walking with him, just keep on walking. It's okay. Now, I'm not going to get in too much detail in these next few verses, but I'll just tell you what happened. Jesus uses two examples. He uses David and he uses the priests. And you can study either of those for your own benefit at some point in time. The reference is 1 Samuel 21:6 for David and the priests. I don't have a reference for you, but it was just the idea that they did some things that were more laborious than were allowed on the Sabbath day. But I will point you to another passage that he quotes here. And so he says in verse 7, let's go to verse 7 if we could. He says, he's talking to the Pharisees now, okay? He says, if you Pharisees had known what this meaneth, and then he quotes Hosea 6:6. Let's turn over there if we could. Keep your finger in Matthew and go to Hosea chapter 6. Some minor prophets, kind of hard to find. Just a touch past Daniel there. Hosea chapter 6. Once you get there, look up and ask you a question. Listen to me carefully. Everybody looking at me, I want to ask you a question. What does the word mercy mean? Don't answer. Just think about that a minute. Mercy. Mercy is when you don't give someone consequences for their actions. For example, if someone does something wrong, I'll give you a simple example of mercy. And it's a funny one, but it fits this story real well. Have you ever had a little child bring you a drawing and give it to you as a gift? And my first question, and I hate to have to ask, but I always do, what is this? It's a cat. Oh, and now I see the circle. Okay, it's a cat. What do you say to them? You need to go learn how to draw. Take this back. No. What do you say to them? Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And you take their cat, which consists of a circle and a line, in orange crayon, on the back of an offering envelope that's been used. And you take this from them and you say, oh, thank you. It's not much of an effort. It's not going to make any money at the art gallery, but that's what they gave you. Instead of looking at the effort and the quality of art skills and how many semesters of college art they've taken before they drew this cat, you simply say to them, thank you for what you did. You're merciful, aren't you? You could point out all the flaws, but instead what you do is you take what they gave you. Now, let me tell you something. That's what Jesus does with you and I. Let me ask you this. What do you think the very best you could ever do, the very best you could ever do after years of effort, what do you think that looks like to the Lord Jesus Christ compared to what he could do? I mean, let me put this in perspective. He spoke and the universe came into existence. He said, let there be light. And there's all light is a complicated, beautiful subject, what light is. And then he created all the animals and the stars. And what can you make in comparison to that? An offering envelope with a circle and a line in orange crayon is about what your stuff matches up to. And so what does the Lord Jesus Christ do? He takes what you give him and he thanks you for it. Could he do 10,000 times a better job in an instant and not need us? Of course he could. But he's merciful to us. The Pharisees say, that's not good enough. You should do better. Get out of the field on the Sabbath day. And Jesus says, no, no, no. I will have mercy. Let me read you Hosea 6:6. He says, that's chapter 7. No wonder it's not right. Chapter 6, he says, I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Y'all see that? Okay, flip back over to Matthew because it's verbatim there. He says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. He stops right there. Please hear what I'm about to say. Too many times, you and I, young people especially, teenagers are horrible about this. You see somebody make a mistake and you're quick to point it out. And teenagers, they compete like that. You get around some teenagers and they will watch you and they'll catch you. Your tie is crooked, Pastor. Yeah, no, I don't do a good job of tying my tie sometimes. I don't take it wrong like that. It doesn't hurt my feelings any, but they're just quick to judge. But some of us can be that way when we're older, amen? What would the Lord Jesus Christ have, mercy or sacrifice? Amen? It's an orange circle with a line through it. It's a cat, now they tell me. But thank you for what you gave me. When you see, if I just had to say this one sentence 10 times and we can go home, you'd get it. When you see somebody walking with Jesus, don't criticize them. Encourage them, strengthen them, thank them. Say, but Pastor, they're so inconvenient. Do you not think we're inconvenient to the Lord? Well, Pastor, they're just not very good at it. How good at it are we? Well, Pastor, that's just not right. In this context, it wasn't wrong. It was right. They were just being too judgmental. They were using the law in a wrong way. We've all been guilty of what I'm talking about. Well, we saw somebody serving God and we criticized them. Folks, if they're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ as weak and as frail and as mistake prone as they are, at least they're walking with the Lord. And I'm interested that the very people pointing fingers aren't walking with him. In fact, they didn't even know who he was. The Pharisees, if they'd have known who they were talking to, they'd have kept their mouth shut. Jesus says this to them in the passage. He says in verse 6, I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Who's he talking about? Himself. Amen? Now let me remind you of something. That person that you criticized, that person that you hurt, they're not doing a good enough job. I should point that out. That person that you didn't help when you could have helped, God's watching. Amen? He's there. We need to be careful. This is a weakness in churches. And praise the Lord, I don't see it as much in our church as I've seen in other churches. But there are people, they won't do much of anything for God, but they consider themselves the appointed critics of all those that are. So that's why I've appointed Brother Mendez to be the complaint department in our church. I wrote an article one time for a newsletter, and the gist of it was this. If you're not serving God actively, you have no room to talk about those that are. Amen? And by the way, you say, well, Pastor, there's this person, and they're not serving God. They don't do this, they don't do that, and you can make your list. I just want to ask you something. Did you help them? Amen? Well, they just aren't serving God. What have you done to help them? They make a lot of mistakes. What have you done to encourage them? Amen? Listen, folks. Romans says it this way. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That everyone may give an account of things done in this body. And later on in Romans it says this. It says, who are you? Who am I? Who are we to judge another man's servant? It's in Romans 12. It says, to God he either stands or falls, and God is able to make him stand. Amen? I would like to ask you, and this is simple, but it's hard to do. It's simple to understand, but it's hard to do. Could you make it a policy just not to criticize other people, period? Just in case, I'm being facetious, because they might be walking with the Lord. I can remember times when I have done, enormous amounts of effort on something for the church, and there'll be something wrong with it. And somebody will come to me and say, look, this is wrong. And I think, yeah, where were you when I was doing it? And by the way, the rest of it's right. And this top this all off with the fact that I'm not perfect, and I know that. But you're not perfect either, amen? Amen. Let's just not criticize people. There's a time to proclaim the truth. If someone came into our church teaching a false gospel, I guarantee you I'd confront them with it. If somebody came in our church and began to argue against this Bible as being the Word of God, I'm going to talk about it. I mean, I'm going to defend the faith, all right? But we have a lot of room to improve when it comes to being an encouragement to people around us. And I'll say this and I'm done. Jesus came to the defense of the disciples who didn't say a word. Let Jesus take up your case. Amen? Amen? You say, Pastor, somebody said something bad about me, or they criticized me, or they hurt my feelings. Let Jesus take up your case. The disciples did not say, they're criticizing us. I guess we won't walk with the Lord anymore. They kept walking with the Lord. And then the Lord took up their case and told the Pharisees, you're wrong. And if you'll keep walking with him, he'll take up your case as well. Amen? Interestingly enough, at the end of the story, not much had changed. The disciples are still eating corn. The Pharisees are still criticizing. That's just the way things are sometimes. But what's going to happen when we all step into eternity? Amen? Now, you're here today, if you know Christ as your Savior, and I think I know just about everybody here, isn't it great to be saved? Amen. Brother Mendez already pointed it out. When you step into eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to welcome you in because he paid for your sins. And then he's going to reward you for your works, even the orange circle and crayon with the line through it that you thought was a cat. He's going to reward you for that. But wouldn't it be great to be rewarded for some other things? And one of them is this, being kind to one another. Amen? You know why? When my grandchildren or my children, I used to have a file of these things. I've got it at my house somewhere. I got to find it. I have a collection of probably 100 little art projects that my children brought me when they were little. And they're little kids' efforts. I mean, there's not much to them. But they're sure precious to me. Those things that you did for God that looked irrelevant to most people, the Pharisees didn't appreciate it. The average person looking at it would say, that's nothing but a line with a circle with a line through it. But you did it for God. It's precious to Him. Now watch me and I'm done. If I pull my little folder of artwork out that my children did when they were 2 and 3 and 4 years old and begin to show it to you, and you start criticizing it, you're not getting on my best side. You understand what I'm saying? When you start criticizing the effort that other people expend for the Lord, you're not getting on God's best side. We don't need to do that, amen? Do your best for the Lord, no question about that. Help other people to do their best, and let God be the judge, amen?